Welcome back on this Saturday evening, the 23rd day of January 2021, at least for now, until the web is completely expunged of anything remotely truthful. I'm your host, Mark Call. One thing is unquestionably true at this point, though, and it ought to be obvious to just about everyone except the most blind Marxist. This is no longer the United States of America. And if you watch that scripted farce from Beijing on the Potomac Wednesday, with all the trite platitudes and pretensions about a peaceful transfer of constitutional power that had the exact same stench of peace that death does, you'll know why it is that I objected to all the military and martial music that was played when they left out the one tune that was really most apropos. So I didn't. I think all of us were at least holding on to some small hope that there might be a last-minute reprieve from tyranny, that there might be some in the military who would honor their oath before God to the death, if necessary, to fight for a republic that today died with a whimper, not so much as a bang. And if all of that wasn't bad enough, it was followed up by one of the most disgusting displays of in-your-face lying and self-congratulation masked as a plea for unity. Because, hey, if you don't unify with the one party here, you know what we're going to do to you. Haven't you read Orwell? There is no truth but what we will allow you to believe. So let me just try to summarize all the news for today in one or two sentences. Unless there was something going on, folks, that none of us saw, the American Republic died Wednesday afternoon at high noon Eastern Standard Time. America's President Xi and the puppet Fuhrer not only stole it, but have gotten away with it. And let me translate all the rest of what you heard. And more importantly, when it comes to the president that didn't do anything when it mattered most, what you didn't hear, that mindless prattling about democracy, 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 and of course unity means submit or die. And as of day one, that means if you're a good little slave, wear your mask. Yes, Biden has issued the 100-day masking muzzling challenge to face diaper all formerly free Americans as a proof of their new submission to their communist Chinese masters. I'm going to say something that I better say it quickly while we still can, folks, because you know what's coming next, and that's the following. If you wear a mask, you're a slave. If there was ever a time to stand up and say, I will not be muzzled, not by the new Fuhrer, not by the communist Chinese who run him, and not by a fake god that they worshipped so openly there on the Capitol steps, it's now. If you're made in the image of the Almighty, prove it. Rip off your mask and say no to a false master and the fake gods that they worship. As you can see, I guess I've had enough of what we've been waiting and watching for so long. I hope that a lot of Americans, and by that I mean Americans who actually understand what once upon a time our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to fight. They'd have been ashamed at what's been done with their legacy. The rest of us should be disgusted. And now that the week is over, along with the Constitutional Republic, a couple of things are becoming more and more obvious. On the scale of potential outcomes, it looks like we pretty much got the worst case. There was no last-minute reprieve. There certainly was no miracle, not that we expected the creator of the universe to say, hey, you think judgment goes easy and that I've suddenly changed my mind? I didn't hear a cry for repentance, folks. I certainly didn't see anything indicative of the fact that most Americans realize what's been done to them. Yet. You could even make a good case that Russia gave a better accounting of itself during the original Bolshevik Revolution. And I guess it's probably obvious that since most Americans haven't taken George Orwell's warnings to heart, they probably don't have a clue who Alexander Solzhenitsyn is either. And since it ended so very ugly, let's start our look back at the rest of the week, more or less chronologically. On Monday, people were still questioning whether the military would honor their oaths or allow the Republic to go down without a fight. But one thing was clear early on, though. Soviet America certainly started out looking a lot like North Korea. 25,000 troops were posted to the swamp, and the criminally negligent FBI even claimed they wanted to vet them, obviously to see if they were politically correct enough to stand still for what they had planned. On Monday, though, your host thought this observation was particularly cogent.
The number of troops stationed in the capital area alone means that creepy Quid Pro Joe would address more people in person right there at the capital than he did during his entire campaign and all of the events combined.
Since then, we've seen claims it was pre-recorded, but I was still disappointed we didn't hear something honest like this.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Oh, and ironically, prior to that, Biden even told you why they needed to be able to rig this election.
Because we cannot get reelect. We cannot win this reelection. Excuse me, we can only reelect Donald Trump.
That turns out to have been true, but they're never, ever going to allow it to be admitted. And now, of course, it seems that they've gone literally bonkers paranoid that somebody might somehow stop all of their beautiful wickedness from coming to fruition.
Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? I got the paranoia blues. I'm knocking around in New York City.
Well, Paul Simon was right. When it comes to paranoia, New York City went over the cliff first. But no doubt about it, folks, Washington District of Criminals is not only catching up, they've gone into, dare I say it again, warp speed. But it would seem the fact that it takes an obvious in-your-face, over-the-top police state to install a Fuhrer shouldn't surprise us in the least. Let me pause here now and note that I started off the news a bit differently today, because, I guess if it's not obvious, none of us have ever lived through anything like this in all of American history. And one of the things that really tells us just how far gone the formerly free republic is the level of disinformation, censorship, and of course, outright lies that literally permeate everything we're seeing and hearing nowadays. It's an old saying, I've used it many, many times here on this show before, that truth is the first casualty of war. And if that's the case, it's pretty obvious that we are in a civil and probably world war at this point, whether most Americans have been lied to about it or not. Where Big Brother is about to bring the vaccine to your door, says Max Levo, Seattle Fire Department paramedics have said it'll be going door to door starting Thursday. What a nice day to begin. And vaccinate residents of adult family homes throughout the city, said the communist mayor. Quote, we have to get these shots out of refrigerators and into people's arms. We hope that if we get steady supplies, we will stand up mass vaccination sites side by side. This our testing sites. Yeah, folks, you've already been able to get your false positive tests for free. And as Slavo said, it's about to get very real and very ugly because they're rolling this vaccine out almost as fast as troops were piled up in Washington, D.C. About some more bad news that, in at least a twisted kind of way, is actually good news from socialist France, where factory workers have been handed out dog collars and forced to wear them. They beep and light up and do all kinds of nasty things. The shock is coming soon if workers get closer than 2 meters together. But they've been slammed by a workers' union for infantilizing employees, which, of course, is exactly what they're intended to do. You might have thought face diapers would be a clue on that score. And factory workers are starting to rise up, labeling the disgusting dog collars as, quote, an attack on individual liberty, said Christine Dugier, a union representative from the CFDT, who suggested that the devices will finish in the rubbish bins or stay in a cupboard, quote, this is complete nonsense. And you know what that means, don't you, folks? Biden's so-called Ministry of Health will soon mandate them for dumbed-down, infantilized Americans. Most of whom will quietly submit, while no doubt a few of the most zealous Karens will say, thank you, sir. May I have another? I want to spend a few minutes today on a piece that I think represents probably one of the best synopses I've seen of just how far and how fast the United States has descended into tyranny since things started coming to a head. This is from the Burning Platform and Jim Quinn, entitled The Illusion of Freedom. And he begins by quoting none other than Frank Zappa, who turns out to have had a lot more on the ball than some of us that were alive back then might have thought. The illusion of freedom, wrote the guy who led the Mothers of Invention, will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they'll just take down the scenery, they'll pull back the curtains, they'll move the tables and chairs out of the way, and you'll see the brick wall at the back of the theater. And that quote, says Jim Quinn from Zappa, has truly come to fruition during the first couple of weeks of 2021. We've been living in a surveillance state since the introduction of the Patriot Act all the way back in 2001. And let's not forget that the creepy senile one himself, Joe Biden, has boasted he was the author of that bill years before. Disgusting as it may be, that's certainly a heck of a lot more believable than that he could have in any way, shape, or form actually won an honest election this year. But until Ed Snowden and Julian Assange reveal the true depth and depravity of this unconstitutional intrusion into our lives, only, says Quinn, the deep state cabal knew the truth. And most Americans not only ignored but continue to ignore those revelations because they've been distracted and entertained by various socialist media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and others, which parlayed people's narcissist need for affirmation, likes, and followers into multi-billion dollar conglomerates with near or maybe now total monopolistic control over the distribution of news, opinions, and online communications that are pretty much the only thing the masses are allowed to consume. Meanwhile, they've gathered personal data on hundreds of millions of people and used that data to create an addiction to their platforms while colluding with government agencies to spy on all of us. And since that illusion of free speech provided by these Silicon Valley billionaires was extremely profitable over the last couple of decades, they now control virtually all internet communications. And these left-wing oligarchs have conspired with the deep state traitors, the Democrat Party, the Davos crowd, and oh, let's not forget, folks, the CCP, too, to pull back the curtain and reveal the brick wall at the back of the theater. It all started with that global plandemic manufactured either by or with the cooperation of the Wuhan Biosafety Level 4 lab, oh, and perhaps Fauci's folks at Chapel Hill, too, who used the crisis to implement a plan to remove President Trump by means of COVID-1984 as the excuse to roll out a massive mail-in ballot scheme, supplemented, of course, by Dominion et al. Voting machine rigging, and commit just enough fraudulent votes to throw the election to Beijing Biden in the basement. The senile, bumbling clown, writes Quinn, who drew tens of people to his massive but not particularly overwhelmingly impressive rallies. Most of them, when they were younger, probably no doubt crammed more hippies into a VW microbus than they saw on a Biden rally at an empty high school parking lot last year. Early on, the socialist media autocrats gave the first inklings about extinguishing the illusion of freedom because they needed to ramp up the fear and panic from a flu that had a 99.7%+ survival rate, so they began censoring doctors and other dissenters who dared to question the approved, bought and paid for narrative of a deadly booga 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 plandemic requiring mass lockdowns, small business closures, unless you're Walmart or Target, and of course, mandatory face muzzles. And while the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine combined with zinc and Z-Pak, and not to mention now ivermectin, were scorned, ridiculed, and censored by the mass media titans, you knew they were in cahoots with the likes of Gates, Fauci, and Big Pharma to generate billions of profits rather than save lives. And despite unequivocal proof that's been available for months now that lockdowns and masks do absolutely nothing to stop or even impede the spread of a flu that has negligible impact on people under age 70, the corporate waste stream media and socialist media giants promoted falsehoods and censored the truth because they needed to destroy the economy in order to get rid of Trump. The scenery was taken down when the media conglomerates colluded to completely bury the cancerous Hunter Biden laptop story and the proof of influence peddling by the Biden crime family with China, the Ukraine, and Russia, while the big guy, you know, creepy quid pro sleepy Joe, was taking his 10% off the top. And anybody who presented actual facts concerning these criminal activities was immediately banned, including the New York Post and dozens of other actual journalists. The curtain continued to inch back on the night of the election and in the weeks thereafter when their master plan of fraudulent mail-in votes was failing and they needed to stop all counting in the various swing states in order to manufacture more votes, thanks to the CIA and the O'Biden regime and the hammer and sickle programs. And they were able to put the senile kid groper over the top. after which the Silicon Valley authoritarian censorship police went into overdrive, suppressing all documented proof of mass fraud, covering up video evidence and hundreds of written affidavits documenting the fraud, banning dissenters from their platforms, promoting the false narrative of the fairest election in human history, shadow banning opposing viewpoints, placing warnings on the accounts of anyone who tried to present actual facts about election fraud, and finally deleting tweets and two Facebook posts from the president himself, even the official POTUS office. Biden should have been moving back to his basement, he writes, where Dr. Jill could have fed him oatmeal and wiped the drool off his chin, waiting for dementia to finally consume one of the most corrupt politicians in this country's history. But instead, on January 20th, unless something changes dramatically anyway, he'll be propped up on stage to be sworn in as the Fuhrer. I refuse to use the term president, folks, with this mindless slime bag and communist Chinese puppet. And let's not forget that it may not be for long anyway, because eventually the 25th Amendment will come into play, and Madam Heels in the Sky, Kamala Harris herself, who got there by doing exactly what leftists say women shouldn't have to do, but hey, if they're crooked enough, they do it anyway, will slither into the Oval Orifice. Says Jim Quinn, the Trojan horse has entered the gates. So it's clear the curtain has now been torn down. The tables and chairs tossed aside over the last week. The socialist media tyrants have shown their true colors. The cavalcade of illusion over the last 4 years has reached its illusory climax, and now there's a solid brick wall blocking the exits. And having been revealed as the clear enemies of the people that they are, the Silicon Valley co-conspirators, billionaire oligarchs, corporate fake news media, traitors, deep state spooks, corrupt politicians, et al., have taken advantage of Trump's failure to comprehend the risk of drawing a few hundred thousand of his most inflamed devotees into Washington on the same day that Congress was meeting to slam dunk the Electoral College vote counts, crooked as they were, and of course at the same time infiltrating the rally with Antifa and BLM operatives, the point of which being to paint Trump followers as dangerous domestic terrorists, the narrative that has been increasingly but now unfailingly propagandized by the left. This next point is particularly important, folks. Trump delivered the standard speech, says Quinn, that he's given many times during the campaign, and he specifically told his followers to peacefully, and that word is in there and in quotes, protest at the Capitol to let our representatives know just how they felt about the fraudulent steal of the election on November 4th. There is absolutely nothing, he said. And note, folks, that the waste stream has thus been taking the videos of his speech down so that you can't confirm nor deny that. But there's absolutely nothing he said or did during that speech which could possibly be construed by any but the most rabid leftist as a call for mob violence. And indeed, you'd have to be rabid because the leftists themselves were, in fact, repeatedly, consistently calling for all kinds of mob violence all summer long. And even by their standards of rampant hypocrisy, folks, this one still has me shaking my head. Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris are shocked by having to accuse the president of doing what they've been up to all along.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
You do, though, have to give him credit for technique and chutzpah. The president, though, urged the crowd to make their voices heard by the corrupt, bought and paid for politicians that were meeting to confirm the stolen election. What we now know beyond any shadow of a doubt since January 6th, based on hundreds of videos documenting the supposed insurrectionist attack mob, it's clear that most of the idiots were actually let into the Capitol by Capitol Police, and there were numerous Antifa thugs among them creating havoc. Meanwhile, none of the insurrectionists were taking guns, but they were taking selfies and posing in congressional offices for Facebook posts. That seems to have been the main accomplishment, although one unarmed woman was shot to death, execution style, by a so-called policeman after being urged to go through a window by now-notorious Black Lives Matter frontman John Sullivan. Out of a few hundred thousand Trump supporters at the rally, maybe a few hundred meandered into the Capitol building, says Jim Quinn, broke a few windows, took some selfies with policemen, and had 500 or so corrupt politicians pissing in their pants because their constituents are angry about asinine lockdowns and stealing an election through blatant fraud. Nothing was burned. There was 99% less violence than at any BLM so-called peaceful protest over the summer. And the only things looted were Pelosi's podium and her laptop. She's angry because it had nude selfies evidently sent to Fartman Swalwell and Crying Shack. Well, this, says Jim Quinn, was a perfect setup by those wielding the true power in this country to destroy Trump and brand his 75 million plus followers with a scarlet T. Remember, folks, they never let a perfectly good crisis go to waste. And meanwhile, AOC and the rest of the Jihad Squad took to socialist media to describe the terror of almost dying in this armed insurrection, minus the arms. Perhaps they thought they would be gored to death by the paid actor goofball wearing the Viking outfit. Summarizes Jim Quinn about the latest Big Brother-induced false flag. Every moment since January 6 has been used by the Big Brother, Big Tech, Big Corp public-private partner oligarchy to promote this fake news of insurrection against the government that absconds with your money at gunpoint, uses the U.S. Constitution like toilet paper, spins future generations into unpayable debt servitude, while the wastery media mouthpieces have been given their script to propagandize terms like insurrection, sedition, coup, and armed rebellion for the last couple of weeks, literally beating it to death like a clubbed seal. It's the essence of the Joseph Goebbels, Edward Bernays, CNN, MSNBC, et al. Big lie method. Even Fox is perpetuating the falsehood now of an armed rebellion, while absolutely no one used firearms, and they were ushered into the Capitol by police. And now we're treated to the spectacle of Nancy Pelosi and her team of diverse mouth-breather swamp scum having, again, almost even more ridiculously impeached Trump, and they're 0 for 2. The first time it had to do with Trump daring to investigate the crooked quid pro Joe Biden for doing exactly what they accused him of doing with Ukraine. The second time is for telling the truth to a crowd and allegedly trying to incite the same kind of riot that they tried all summer long to get going all across the entire United States and had a whole heck of a lot more success with, too. Whether you're measured in burnings, lootings, beatings, or murders. The cowardly rhinos in the stupid party caved, like everybody who's been paying attention for the last couple of decades, knew darn well they were gonna. As usual, the FBI remains complicit both before and after. Same thing goes for CNN and their crowd of cover-ups, fear-mongers, and disgusting reprobates. The criminally negligent network, notes Jim Quinn, even had the temerity to interview that low-life scumbag on the air after the kerfuffle as if he was some kind of a journalist rather than a radical leftist criminal. But given the context, maybe that is a bit redundant. This smarmy double standard, he writes, when applied to reporting actual violent uprisings by BLM and Antifa terrorists versus a Trump rally where 99% plus were peaceful and the 1% were actually actors paid to incite violence, reveals the duplicity of these faux journalists. Trump has always had them pegged perfectly with his fake news moniker, and that accurate portrayal seems to have now driven them insane with rage to destroy him. Meanwhile, the Silicon Valley ministers of propaganda and censorship not only allow those planned riots to be coordinated on their socialist platforms, but openly supported and encouraged their violence and mayhem. Burning downtown districts, police under siege, murder, and anarchy gripped dozens of leftist, Democrat-run cities for months, while they were reported as, well, fiery but mostly peaceful protest by the irresponsible yellow media. And while Kamala and the Hollywood elites bailed out killers and anarchists. Not a peep out of Pelosi, Schumer, or basement Biden, though, about the insurrection, armed mobs, and violent revolt. So Twitter and Facebook allowed violent criminals to coordinate and carry out hundreds of uprisings and violent mob attacks, attempting to overthrow authorities in dozens of cities with zero consequences or moral outrage. Did Amazon shut down their servers? Normal law-abiding citizens of the country were provided a glimpse into the future controlled by the big tech, big media, CCP government, and they should have resisted this left-wing surge of anarchy, but instead they sat back and watched it on their boob tubes and passively accepted the lockdowns imposed by their betters. Now it seems to be too late. Time to know your enemy, folks, because it is upon you. And we'll pick it up there when we get back. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening, folks. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I guess it's time to tackle the latter part of the week in the new Reich. So now that the smoke of the inauguration and failure to overturn the takeover has cleared, and arguably the big tech Iron Curtain has fallen, let's take a look at the status of the new Reich. And somehow, amongst the myriad of stories that could have kicked things off for today, this one somehow kind of oozed to the top. Just before the final death throes of the Republic, on Tuesday, CNN politics editor and VP David Chalian described the scene and atmosphere at the National Mall in the District of Criminals, appropriately cloaked in a military dictatorship garb, in preparation for Joe Biden's coronation, as one of stark contrast to the, quote, disgraced president, unquote, who was run out of town at, quote, the lowest point in his presidency. And that, says Tyler Durden's summary, was when things got really weird live on air. Chalian went on a flowery emotional tribute and display of literally disgusting loyalty that one might expect to some third world dictatorship. Indeed, he was hardly able to contain himself while images of thousands of lights on the totalitarian National Mall were displayed on the screen. And here's how Glenn Greenwald, actually a leftist himself, folks, but one who's beginning to have eyes to see, put it, quoting this sycophant. The contrast on display tonight was so stark. I mean, those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool. It's almost like extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America. Unquote. He went on to voice something that perhaps all Americans who haven't been drinking the Kool-Aid have got to be thinking. Not even North Korean TV would say this, he tweeted. Referring to the leftist embrace of the glorious leader, Dave Rubin summarized it this way, quote, this is among the top 10 most embarrassing things ever said on CNN, and that ain't easy. And yes, said many, many others, when it comes to groveling before Big Brother, this was no doubt the start of something that, historically at least, is not all that new. The proper term, folks, is enemies foreign and domestic. And to the shame of the American military and the former president, whose memory will no doubt soon be expunged by the Orwellian dictators who have taken his place, they stood down, all of them, and allowed it to happen. Do we know the details? Do we know what happened behind the scenes? Do we know what the battle within the Oval Office and the high ranks of the military looked like? Of course not. We may never. But one thing is for sure. At this point, there's no denying the fruit. Whether you believed all of that trust-the-plan stuff, Trump's playing six-dimensional chess, and real soon now everything will be revealed and there will be mass arrests on the Capitol, yeah, that's what the military's there to do, and so forth, or just thought it was a great, big, huge, stinking psyop, one thing, as of January 21, 2021, is pretty much undeniable. And of the scenarios your host has been warning about and thinking about and praying about for quite a while, I'd say we're on track for the worst of the worst case so far. Ultimately, America went down without so much as a whimper. So let's fast forward next to what the puppet dictator was able to do on day one. Once he got his marching orders and his rubber stamp out. After a full day, says Zero Hedge's summary of inaugural events that ended with fireworks on the National Mall, arguably the only kind that weren't worth paying attention to, observed by the Fuhrer and the power behind the throne, the Emperor in waiting, the regime is moving ahead with its 10-day sprint of executive orders, kicking off Thursday with measures requiring masks of all the slaves and quarantines for travelers, plus plans to utilize the Defense Production Act to eliminate any further supply shortages of things that you will be forced very soon now to put into your bloodstream. Here's more from the Financial Times, the European mouthpiece of the New World Order, which says Biden is going to sign the DPA order on Thursday to fight the coronavirus pandemic and use wartime powers to help solve them. In addition, the regime is imposing strict new requirements not only on travelers, not just on planes, unless, of course, you come in across the southern border, which is just fine, while also enforcing the quarantine rules, says mouthpiece Bloomberg. You will take a COVID-19 test before being allowed to fly into America. Again, walking across the border is a whole different deal. As many thousands in another caravan already headed north could tell you. And since all U.S. carriers, good little public-private partners that they are, have already put in some kind of requirement that passengers cover their ugly little disease-prone faces, it's difficult to assess, as the coverage, just how the various provisions will be enforced. But the new federal mask requirements could put teeth into policies now just written by the airlines themselves. I guess being banned for life from the airlines just wasn't enough. And the Biden regime will no doubt require, quote, mask wearing in airports on certain modes of public transportation, including many planes, trains, automobiles, maritime vessels, and intercity buses. If you do not comply, you will face civil fines and other charges. Why, some are suggesting you might even be fined if you try to eat that snack they give you on the plane. Oh, don't worry, they'll get around to fixing that. Can you say, no snack for you? And get this, given all the Trump-era policies that are being displaced, including the fact that the former president had also been drinking the vaccine Kool-Aid, it's no surprise the Biden regime team is already griping to their mouthpiece, the Communist News Network, about how the Trump administration left the federal government with, quote, no strategy when it came to vaccine distribution and no doubt mandates, quote, there is nothing for us to rework, said one source. We're going to have to build everything from scratch. Gee, it makes you wonder, says Tyler Durden, just how those millions of doses of you-know-what managed to get shoved into so many Americans' arms over the last couple of months. But wait, says the Zero Hedge summary, there's more. We're just seeing the start. We're learning Thursday morning, for example, that the Biden regime intends to sign as many as 53 separate executive orders during his initial 10-day thrust into the heart of what was once free America, which The Hill sourced to a document outlining the administration's plans, which was presumably leaked in turn to several obedient media outlets. Some have even begun to admit, perhaps with a smile on their faces, that constitutionality is not a big deal here when it comes to what they plan on doing either. Biden is going to be signing a slew of executive orders every day, implies The Hill. Many days will have themes. I can't help but wonder if they'll call them great leaps forward. Things like non-existent man-made global warming, but they're going to call it climate change. Economic relief. How's that for a laugher? Health care and immigration. Some are even designated to be around the theme of restoring America's place in the... let me phrase this properly, folks. New World Order, according to the document. And, of course, let's not forget the plandemic, which is the Thursday theme. Most of next week will be dedicated to ripping out all of the Trump-era policies and replacing them with more appropriately CCP-approved alternatives. There's even a strong focus, starting around February or so, on national security matters, which basically will mean shoring up the Chinese Communist Party control of once formerly free America and completing the purge of any officers that do not pledge their loyalty to the new Führer. That's your host's take on it, folks, but if you remember what the Obama regime was able to accomplish, by most reckonings, about 300 flag-ranked officers or so were given the axe or shown the door, take your pick. And how that reflected in Trump's inability to actually get anything positive done on this score, you can kind of see that now they're in. They intend to slam the door and make sure that no truth ever manages to worm its way back into the public consciousness ever again. Oh, and this is almost humorous in a disgusting kind of hindsight. Other items on the 10-day blitz include presidential directives aimed at, get this, safely reopening schools and businesses. After totalitarians in city halls and governor's mansions all over the once free nation spent most of last year insisting they remain closed. Well, obviously, now that the deal is done and Orange Man Bad is gone, I guess it's okay again. Just wear your mask and take your poke. This next item, though, is the story we've been expecting. And amazingly, and coincidentally, of course, it happened right on cue. Were the conspiracy theorists, says Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge, just proven right one more time about the COVID-1984 plandemic fake rescue plan? Did the science deniers just get the confirmation we've been waiting for that it was all, well, nothing but a political ploy after all? The short answer to all of these questions regarding the COVID-19 case-demic and the fallacy of asymptomatic PCR testing is yes, yes, and of course, yes. They've detailed, and your host has reported faithfully as well, the controversy, and that's putting it a little bit disingenuously, folks, surrounding the COVID-1984 case-demic and the misleading results, and that, too, is putting it more than a bit mildly, concerning the PCR test and how you can amp up the case numbers by just cranking up the CT until you get the positive result that the controllers are wanting. Oh, and as a reminder, they note, cycle thresholds, a.k.a. CT, are the level at which widely used polymerase chain reaction, or PCR tests, which the designer, by the way, said before his death should never have been used the way they're using them now anyway, can detect a sample of the COVID-19 virus. It's kind of like cranking up the volume on a cheap stereo until the distortion hurts your ears, or the magnification on a cheap telescope until you can see nothing but a big blurry ball. The higher the number of cycles, the lower the total amount of viral load, down to just barely above zero, that it takes in the sample to give you a positive result, whether it's fake or not. In other words, if you actually want to see if there was real virus present in the original sample, you need a pretty low cycle threshold, which is why that's not the number they use, and it's also why they don't tell you what the number they use really was. Short answer, if it's much above 20, it's a lie. If it's above 30, it's utterly bogus. Oh, and let's not forget, the test doesn't actually prove that the viral load is actually the COVID-1984 booga 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 flu either. All of which brings us to the central question. If you want to make sure the new Fuhrer looks really, really good right out of the gate, what do you do? Well, obviously, we've already talked about part of it. You start with the mask mandates and all the idiotic but feel-good, important-looking stuff that really doesn't do anything, and then you have to make it look like it did. And it's good to have who on your team. Yes, less than 1 hour after the inauguration of the new Fuhrer, the who did exactly what everybody, especially those of us who've been paying attention, knew they were going to do. They sent out a notice to all the lab professionals sick using the bogus PCR tests, which said, quote, WHO guidance. Diagnostic testing for SARS-CoV-2 states that careful interpretation of weak positive results is needed. The cycle threshold, or CT, needed to detect the virus is inversely proportional to the patient's viral load. Zero Hedge helpfully translates this here from another source, saying, this means, in the absence of symptoms, a high CT value means you're highly unlikely to become ill or get anyone else sick in the absence of very recent exposure to an infected person. Unquote there, and back to the WHO quote, where test results do not correspond with the clinical presentation. In other words, if you know the damn test is a fake positive, a new specimen should be taken and retested using the same or different NAT technology. Oh, and maybe it would help to use a lower cycle threshold too. And ultimately, folks, what we're going to do is crank down the number of bogus cases and voila! The new Fuhrer is a hero! All praise the Fuhrer! See, we have fixed the problem. Well, that is up until booga booga booga, round two comes, and guess what? You're going to have to take another poke and Achtung, keep fearing your mandated muzzle. And here's a quick related story I have neither the time nor the inclination to spend too much effort on. Fauci, the man whom the new Fuhrer says, yes, will be the American Dr. Mengele still, I hope you're sitting down, folks, now says COVID-1984 vaccinations may become mandatory. And in modern Fed speak, that simply means they're going to make you wish you had bent over and taken one like a good little slave. The deaths and nasty side effects are, of course, stacking up, but hey, they're immune from liability anyway. And besides, Big Brother and his public-private partners in big media aren't going to let you hear about any of that because, you know, the truth. One more quick and upbeat story before we get to the important finale today, courtesy of Aiden Salazar via InfoWars. National Guard members appear, say a number of videos, to refuse to acknowledge the new Fuhrer as his motorcade drove by. Footage shows them turning their backs to Beijing Biden. And as one viewer tweeted, you won't see this on mainstream. Finally today, on to the important review. It's certainly not my desire to re-subject anybody to the litany of lies that we heard from the Fuhrer on Wednesday, but given how rapidly the window for free speech is being slammed shut, I do want to summarize at least a few of the biggest whoppers of omission and commission. Right off the top, he plopped out this bit of scatological excess.
Once-in-a-century virus that silently stalks the country.
It's not silent, folks. The fake news media trumpets it 24/7, especially by inflating the numbers.
Once-in-a-century virus that silently stalks the country. It's taken as many lives in 1 year as America lost in all of World War II.
And no, we don't need a musical interlude to know that's a great, big, stinking-feeted lie. Over 400,000 Americans died as a result of combat and related injuries during World War II. And here's the kicker, folks. The vast majority of them were below the age of 30. They didn't die as a result of comorbidities, like pneumonia, heart disease, other lung diseases, or just plain old age. And while the bogus U.S. COVID death numbers do include a few self-inflicted gunshot wounds, not to mention self-inflicted alcohol and drug overdoses, some of us might actually suggest that this disingenuous dictatorial scumbag is dishonoring the memory of those who died serving their country by conflating it with those who died in the process of something that was used to overthrow it. This isn't unifying. It's downright shameless. But he wasn't done.
Millions of jobs have been lost. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed.
Yeah, and if you thought that was something, wait till they really get rolling. And he brought the hammer down on that case with this. After a quick homage to the lie of man-made global warming, they of course no longer call it that, Biden said the following.
A rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism, that we must confront and we will defeat.
And if you know anything at all about American history, folks, have ever read the Declaration of Independence, and understand the difference between lies and the truth, that means you. Still not convinced? Only a few minutes later, he makes the point.
And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured.
This whopper from the guy who just won more votes than any other candidate in all of human history, especially among dead people. And if you believe in the volumes of facts, affidavit, and election fraud proofs that show otherwise, you will be silenced.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
And that, folks, is such an incredible whopper, even for a veteran accomplished liar like crime boss, creepy quid pro Joe Biden. We better hear it again while it's fresh.
And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured.
George Orwell is no doubt laughing in his grave. And that, of course, was a really great intro to the whoppers that followed. We don't have time for even a fraction of them, but let's hit at least one or two of the most stinky, steaming piles.
And today, we mark the swearing-in of the first woman in American history elected to national office, Vice President Kamala Harris. Don't tell me things can't change.
Yeah, it took the biggest election fraud in American history, and by the way, she's utterly constitutionally ineligible to be President of the United States. But hey, since when do we pay any attention to either the facts or the law? More ominous, though, than even the outright in-your-face, downright disgusting lies were the warnings for those who can see through them.
To all those who did not support us, let me say this. Hear me out as we move forward. Take a measure of me and my heart.
Oh, we did.
And if you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy.
That's why the founders put all those constitutional protections in there against what this guy is now pushing. Democracy is where two wolves and a sheep vote on what's for dinner, as Ben Franklin put it. Where 51% can exercise complete totalitarian control over the lives, liberty, and property of the remaining 49%, or as it turns out, the remaining 75%, so long as they can rig the election.
That's America. The right to dissent peaceably within the guardrails of our republic is perhaps this nation's greatest strength.
And this scumbag knows darn well they have spat on the warning of JFK. Those who would make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. That's been their plan, and they're right on track.
Yet hear me clearly. Disagreement must not lead to disunion.
Yes, hear me clearly. If you will not submit, you will be crushed.
Yet hear me clearly. Disagreement must not lead to disunion. And I pledge this to you. I will be a president for all Americans. All Americans. And I promise you, I will fight as hard for those who did not support me as for those who did.
Whether you like it or not, I will force you to wear a muzzle for your own good. Whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not, I'll force you to take a vaccine in order to travel, work, keep your job, keep your home, or even go out in public, you dirty peon you. Whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not, you'll be taxed and penalized to support a globalist totalitarian climate agenda that will destroy your futures, that'll destroy your children's futures as well. Whether you like it or not, I will force you to turn in your firearms for, well, my own good. I will continue to shut down your ability to dissent in the public square, to educate your children in accord with your values as opposed to ours, to keep what you thought was yours. You'll find out very soon it never was, and it certainly will not be. He then launches into a disgusting screed about the common objects of our love and pointedly omits the God-given rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the now foreign concept of private property, including, by the way, your body and your life, and all of those who pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to defend something they have, to put it politely, shat upon.
What are the common objects we as Americans love that define us as Americans? I think we know. Opportunity, security, liberty, dignity, respect, honor, and yes, the truth. Recent weeks and months have taught us a painful lesson. There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for power and for profit.
And obviously, our great big whopping lies have trumped your truth. Ha ha!
There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for power and for profit.
Did I mention the big guy gets the 10% cut off the top?
And each of us has a duty and a responsibility. As citizens, as Americans, and especially as leaders. Leaders who have pledged to honor our Constitution and protect our nation. To defend the truth and defeat the lies.
Yeah, and if you believe that, understand that war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and 2 plus 2, if the almighty state tells you so, is 5. George Orwell, in his masterpiece 1984, also said this: who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present, and now we see what that means, controls the past. There was no voter fraud. There was no Trump revolution. There was no border wall. And by the way, there is and was no Second Amendment ever put in place to allow you to object with force of arms, if necessary, to what's now being done. And before I wrap up this look at the speech that marked the end of the American Republic and the beginning of the totalitarian dictatorship that follows, one more quote from George Orwell in 1984. It really should have been 2021, but he only missed by about 37 years. Power, he wrote, is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The Fuhrer closed with yet another candidate for the biggest whopper in a litany of whoppers.
I give you my word. I will always level with you.
Oh, for a second there, I thought he was going to tell us, yep, I lied. We stole the election. Ha, ha, ha. But no.
I give you my word. I will always level with you. I will defend the Constitution. I'll defend our democracy. I'll defend America.
Well, as long as my Chi-Com masters allow me to anyway, and of course I get my big guy 10% cut right off the top.
And we'll give all of you, keep everything I do in your service, thinking not of power, but of possibilities, not of personal interest, but the public good.
Well, yeah, I forget. Did I mention the big guy gets his 10% cut off the top? Yeah, I'll never lie to you, except, of course, when my lips are moving. And I guess that's the beautiful thing about being a puppet, folks. He can lie without his lips even moving at all. So I close today with a reminder, one more time, from Joshua chapter 24. Choose this day whom you will serve. We know we can't serve two masters, and the choice has never been more stark, or ultimately more important.